This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike DeBusky. Texas officials now say at least 80 people have died from flooding in the central part of that state. That includes children attending a summer camp in the area.
With more rain on the way, a desperate search for the girls swept away from a Texas summer camp. 28 children are among the more than 80 dead as storm-swollen rivers once again threaten hard-hit areas. In Kerr County, crews working around the clock to find the missing, including campers and a counselor from Camp Mystic, last seen near the Guadalupe River.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert, dozens remain missing across central Texas. This evening at the White House, President Trump will meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for the first time since the U.S., in coordination with Israel, struck three of Iran's nuclear sites. The two are expected to discuss a ceasefire deal for Israel's war in Gaza. Indirect talks between the Israelis and Hamas have been ongoing in Doha, Qatar, over the last few days. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Wisconsin's fire departments are facing serious challenges. With more, here's Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz.
The reliability of Wisconsin's fire service report, based on contributions from 418 fire chiefs, representing 52% of departments statewide, highlights a growing crisis in staffing, funding, and training that could impact public safety if not addressed. Key findings show 85% of rural fire departments operate entirely with volunteers. Over 80% of firefighters receive little or no monetary compensation. 62% of departments are worried they will be unable to adequately staff their first due apparatuses in the next year. 49% reported responding to building alarm calls with fewer than the required four firefighters in the past year, and 34% lack sufficient funding to pay their projected expenses. Fire chiefs interviewed recommend regionalizing or consolidating fire departments to merge staff, budgets, and resources. Offer tax incentives to support firefighter recruitment and retention, expand access to training, especially in rural areas, and allow more flexible funding mechanisms for local governments. Wisconsin Office of Rural Health says correcting these deficiencies is going to require elected leaders to prioritize significant investment into community fire departments. It is also likely that many communities will need to regionalize services to share cost.
The 2023 state budget changed the formula for the way that municipalities receive state aid. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Dodgers coming to town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, game one of the Brewers and Dodgers tonight. Freddie Peralta, named to the All-Star game next week in Atlanta, will get the start tonight against Los Angeles right-hander Yoshinobu Yamamoto. The Brewers with a 3-2 win over the Marlins yesterday to take that series in Miami 2-1. Brandon Woodruff earning the W after a long road back from surgery. So what was it like being back on the mound?
It was kind of strange. You know, I'd be sitting here and the next thing it's like, man, I'm about to throw my first game in 2 years, and just everything you go through in the rehab and think back to, oh my God, just like the worst days. And then it's like, you just want to be able to just pitch in one game. You know what? If I just had one game left, that would be cool.
Pat Murphy on Woodruff's performance in his first game back.
Yeah, I mean, no one could have expected six innings of two-hit ball or whatever it was. I mean, he was sensational.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible late today, tonight, and again tomorrow. Otherwise, today will be partly cloudy with a high of 84. We'll drop down to 67 tonight, tomorrow. Early day thunderstorms, otherwise partly cloudy, 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Why do we want to be proud to be an American? Why are we celebrating the United States?
Then say that you're going to define America in political terms. I define it in terms of what the Founding Fathers did in 1776. An ideal that we are still trying to fully live up to. That all men, all people, I would say, are created equal. All Americans are represented by the stars and stripes. I love the 4th of July.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, July 7th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. Or if you're listening on the app or watching us on social media, catching us as a podcast, we appreciate you starting your day. And what we hope is an easy week right here. Got a question for you. Did you enjoy the holiday weekend? Did you get to do everything you wanted to do? Did you get to relax enough? Did you get to do enough? Did you get to boat enough? Grill enough? Whatever the case may be. I think I get to say yes to pretty much all of those questions. I got to do pretty much everything that I wanted to do, and we're going to talk a bit about that, about, you know, weekend plans. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here. She had a very busy week off traveling. She checked in a couple of times. There was also some news that went on leading up to the holiday weekend, and we'll talk to her about that coming up in this hour as well. So we've got a lot of ground to cover there. There's going to be biking, boating, grilling, live music, streaming TV. I mean, you name it, we've got it for today. It's going to be a little bit of a slower show. It's some folks taking an extended weekend. We've got Kristen here, but I don't believe we have Selena or Jimmy Koska or Jane Matinere. So there'll just be a lot of chatter today and a little bit of a recap of things that happened last week. For example, there was the threat of disruption to the 4th of July parade in Minocqua that turned out to be a prank. Let's see, there's the state budget being done, and you have, I don't know how best to put it, discordant daycare providers, despondent Democrats, exasperated educators, something for everybody to not necessarily like in the budget. And including the Trump plan, where obviously a lot of rural hospitals are going to be impacted. But we'll also return to our regularly scheduled trade war that we haven't talked about for a while. But that's because President Trump put it on pause. He said he was going to work out 90 deals in 90 days. 90 countries were going to come flocking to the U.S. and begging him for better trade deals. The current total as we approach the 90-day deadline is two deals, and both of those are only half done or half baked. So are we going to ramp up the talk of a trade war with the rest of the world, or are the taco memes going to start pouring out across the internet again? Taco meaning Trump always chickens out. We'll also talk to his former bestie. The world's richest man once bragged he would use his fortune to solve world hunger. So much for that plan. Now Elon Musk is announcing plans to start a new political party. But between his Doge misadventures, strike one, and his ill-fated effort to buy the Wisconsin Supreme Court election, strike two, could Elon's third party become the third strike in an effort to buy his way into political power? We'll talk about that during the course of the morning as well, and certainly get some input from you if you'd like to share it with us. We'd love to have you use that Civic Media app to send us a text message or text something to 855-75-CIVIC or use the comment section on the Facebook and YouTube pages, or you can email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Roger in Stevens Point, first comment of the day up on Facebook says, Woody was superb yesterday. Yes, we're also going to discuss the triumphant return of Brandon Woodruff to the Milwaukee Brewers pitching ranks. It was a nice weekend that way. The Brewers were on the road for six games, and they split that six-game road trip, three wins, three losses. And so we'll get into that in just a little bit as well. Oh, I was mentioning texting us, putting something in the comment sections. You can also leave us a voice note. Again, head to that Civic Media app and use the voice note feature to record us to record an audio message for us that we might play back on air as well. Brittany Merlot's forecast for the state for today goes like this. Nice, sunshine, comfortable, upper 70s in most spots. Some places will see the low 80s, a little cooler near Lake Michigan, a very light northeasterly breeze for tonight. Increasing clouds, a 40% chance of scattered showers later on out west. Lows will be in the upper 50s in eastern Wisconsin to the mid-60s in western Wisconsin, and a light southeasterly breeze. Slight chances of precip coming into Tuesday for some spots, but otherwise really nice by and large today. Wednesday, Thursday, we'll get details from Brittany coming up next hour. But I say all this about the nice quiet weather because it means the top on the Jeep is down, and I don't want to jinx it. I had a very nice ride yesterday, and I'm going to invent some errands so that I can go for a ride today. But before we do all of that, we get through this show and our visit down in Madison Studio A2. One Parker Olson standing by. Mr. Olson, good morning. Did you have a good weekend?
Good morning, Pat. I did have a good weekend. Not a lot going on. It was kind of nice, you know?
Yeah.
Work a couple of Mallards games, get absolutely downpoured on.
Oh, no.
It's all part of the experience.
When was the downpour?
Oh, I believe it was Saturday. We knew we were going to get rained on. Mm-hmm. We went into that hoping that we would be able to get five innings to make an official game.
Did you?
Eventually, yes.
Okay.
we got a good 10-run first inning, mm-hmm. And then the heavens opened up, and boy, did the sky cry on me. I was dripping wet and mm-hmm. cold for the rest of the night because we didn't end up playing a full nine innings after about an hour rain delay. So,
oh, gosh.
There you go.
You did all that while soaked to the bone.
Yep. I was shivering. I went home and took a bath to warm up.
I had the opposite thing where I was so hot and sweaty by the end of the 4th of July. I needed a cool shower close to midnight when we got back from Summerfest in Milwaukee. We did end up going. So where did we leave things off here? Thursday, we did the show here. It was my birthday. Had some nice greetings. Did a long pontoon ride. Saw friends. And then Friday morning, the 4th of July, we hit the road for Milwaukee. And we did the entire day out there. We were out there from like 1 p.m. till almost midnight, seeing all kinds of live music. But there is that phrase, and I just mentioned it in the forecast, cooler by the lake. And that is often the case along the eastern edge of Wisconsin there. Not Friday. Not Friday. The way the air was hot and still, and what little wind there was coming from the west. And by the end of the night, I mean, we were as drenched as you were, but it was from sweat and humidity.
Yeah.
But we still had a great time. I love Summerfest. Absolutely love it. And got to see all kinds of different bands and music, some better than others. We'll get into that in just a little bit here. But still a lot of fun. Always good to do a road trip. And then yesterday was extremely relaxing. And a little bit of grilling. Made something new on the grill.
Ooh.
Made a little Is it called a caprese or caprese when you make a salad or a chicken dish or whatever? No, whatever it is. It's the thing with the mozzarella and the tomatoes. And so we took that and some chicken, and we wrapped all that in foil and put that on the grill, and grilled some cut up potatoes and onions as well. And
eating like a king, Pat.
Oh my goodness! Jeez. I mean, we both realized we're like, you know, we grilled a few times already this summer. We are broaded out. we'll come back to the brats and the burger patties, and you know they're good traditional fare, but like we need something different. We got nothing else going on today. You know, what are our options? And we ended up making something like that. So it was a very good grilling weekend, and it was a good hammock weekend. There was plenty of hammock time on Thursday and Sunday, I think it was. So
very nice.
It worked really well. Let's see. Alicia up on YouTube says, made it through the holiday weekend without sunburn and with a side of washing machine drama. Yes, I do recall seeing something about a filter being clogged or needing to be emptied out with her washing machine. So I was glad not to have, I had no hangups like that this particular weekend. You know,
that's
some weekends you get waylaid by a house project or something else that comes up. That was not the case this time around. So I hope it worked out well for everybody. Coming up Thursday on the program, we're going to have Congressman Mark Pocan. There will be a lot to talk about now that President Trump's big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill has been signed. And I'm going to say, in hindsight, I am still a little surprised. I shouldn't be. At this point, I should be so used to Republicans falling into line, and they have been for Trump for years. Even though everybody knows the phrase, everything Trump touches dies. And he has, you know, the first time around, he lost the House, he lost the Senate, then he lost the White House. The midterms may not look particularly good for him as well, and yet all these folks, they caved. Ron Johnson caved. Everybody, you know, Derek Van Orden, who said he'd never vote for a cut to Medicaid or a cut to rural health, he caved along with every Wisconsin Republican. And so we'll talk to Congressman Mark Pocan about the impacts of that, and maybe by then he'll have some reaction as well to the third-party plans of Elon Musk, because, I mean, won't it just be another version of the Republican Party of the ones who, like Elon Musk, have been on the outs with Donald Trump? And even if that gets off the ground, you know, the disenchanted, disaffected, you know, never-Trumpers, how much clout is that going to get? I mean, isn't it just going to embolden everybody who has hitched their wagon to Trump's star and he is their ride or die? And yeah, it probably will be die, you know. Alicia says there were rumors Glenn Grothman was booed at the Nina parade and left early. I did see something as well about Brian Stile finally making a public appearance again at a 4th of July parade and, you know, getting some catcalls. Alicia also notes that, yes, it was a filter problem with her washing machine, the drawback of having dogs, the fur gets everywhere. Yes, I can totally see that happening. But yeah, as far as the, you know, Republicans coming home from Washington, they're continuing to, shall we say, not be entirely credible with what they say. And at the top of that list would be the congressman from Western Wisconsin, who, as we've discussed here, is a prolific tweeter. He tweets like there's no tomorrow, dozens of times a day sometimes. And in the flurry of tweets after Trump's bill passed, one of the tweets that he responded to talked about all the people who are going to get kicked off their health care. And he responds with a great big yes in capital letters and an exclamation point. And it makes the rounds. I mean, it's getting national coverage. And his office, and then he said it was a mistake, that the yes was responding to a different tweet, something put out by the White House and being very happy about the bill passing, not about people losing their health care. It's just that Derek Van Orden's on Twitter so often, it's hard to think that he only in that instance forgot how to use it. It was part of our question of the week in our Sunday newsletter, and we'll talk about that and more of the weekend's headlines coming up. But first, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, let me thank you for making this the place to spend part of your Monday mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, powered by Up North News. Go to upnorthnewswi.com to get our newsletters. More in a bit.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, sure, you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. It's a Monday morning, just about 6:23 here, live from the Chippewa Falls studios here of Lake Wissota. Let's see. here's Mike in Facebook saying, a prank organized by one of your own, giving me ownership of Kirk Bankstead of the Minocqua Brewing Company. Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was going to talk about now or maybe when Kristen Lyerly got here, but yeah, let's get into it ever so briefly in just a minute here. First off, we haven't talked about sports yet, except to hint at the fact that Brandon Woodruff is back. Wow, was he back yesterday. Jackson Churio homered and drove in three runs as well as the Brewers beat the Miami Marlins 3-1 on Sunday. For the Brewers to take 2 out of 3 there and split the road trip overall. But it was Big Woo going 6 innings, 8 strikeouts, no walks, just 2 hits to win his first start in the majors since September 23rd of 2023. The two-time All-Star hadn't pitched in the bigs since having shoulder surgery after the 2023 season, and he was practically perfect. So 6 innings pitched, that's 18 outs. He only faced 20 batters, 2 over the minimum, for those 2 hits. And in both cases, it was by the same player and a rookie, nonetheless. Every other Marlins batter got nothing. He had great stuff, and it was a real morale booster to the team. Coming up next is a home series against the LA Dodgers tonight, tomorrow evening, then Wednesday afternoon. And then this next weekend, the Washington Nationals come to town, and then it's the All-Star break. So you can catch the pregame game one at the Dodgers starting at 6:05 on several Civic Media stations. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn much more about that. So, yes, let's talk Minocqua for a bit here. Kirk Bangstad, the owner of the Minocqua Brewing Company, who has been involved in so many disputes with local officials there. And I don't know if the local officials will have finally learned a lesson after this last episode. I mean, this call goes way back to the start of the pandemic in 2020. And Kirk still had a restaurant at the time. He put up a great big Biden-Harris sign on the side of his restaurant. And the town fathers, if you will, took him to task for that, saying it violated some kind of a sign ordinance. Ever since then, whether it's signs or he's now in a different location in Minocqua, parking spaces or all kinds of, you know, what we used to call taillight infractions, the man has been at one end of a constant stream of legal harassment, because they do not like how vocal he is to be one of the lone publicly liberal voices up in that area, who is also, to be fair, constantly picking these fights as he points out the inconsistencies in enforcement. It has also included a libel lawsuit after he said something egregiously stupid. But it was one thing amidst many others that should be protected speech against a newspaper that should know better. Anyway, things have come to a head a little over a week ago when Kirk Bangstad and four of his customers were arrested. They were heckling the publisher of the newspaper, who just happened to be across the street. Don't take the bait. They took the bait. They started heckling him. He called the police. It was apparently some violation of the harassment order or restraining order or whatever it was. Well, suddenly there was law enforcement overkill. The four customers were arrested. Kirk was arrested. Officers from like four agencies, seven vehicles or something were there. It was embarrassing, quite frankly, to law enforcement and to town government there. Kirk was held in solitary confinement for something like 24 hours to hear him tell it on social media. Then last week, he announced on social media that he was organizing a plan to disrupt the 4th of July parade in Minocqua, which, of course, was the big talk around town all week as he put up posts defending his right to have a First Amendment protest to finally have a big public display of his unhappiness with the way that the town and the county and the courts have been politically harassing him. So there was all this talk about pushback. Would things get violent? Would there be mass arrests? In the end, there was no disruption, and Kirk recorded a video of himself on a tranquil little boat out on the lake having a beer and singing a song. But he wanted to point out the foolishness that the town and others were going to such extremes because of his threat to disrupt a parade. They were willing to do all of this rather than simply stop picking on the man because they didn't like his parking spaces or his other equivalent of a taillight. He's trying to make the point here that for as much taxpayer money as they all have spent to pick on somebody because they don't like his politics, it makes a statement that when he makes a threat like this, and it was a threat, let's not kid ourselves here, but the overkill, once again, to which people responded, you would hope would teach them a lesson to live and let live. You don't have to like everything that everybody says about you. You don't have to like their politics. You don't even have to like their personal insults, but when you're in a position of power, that still doesn't give you room to do anything but wield it in the way that is good for the entire community and not just for your own little personal skirmishes. We'll talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly coming up after this. You're up north.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wisconsin farmers did their best to manage through the heat and humidity of the 4th of July weekend, but there may still be some expense. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. And that expense may stretch beyond the energy bills. Cody Koster, dairy analyst with EverAg, says milk production is definitely going to fluctuate given the temperatures all dairy producers are experiencing.
I think right now it's going to be the upper Midwest. I mean, talking to folks on the West Coast, they've actually had a fantastic start to the summer. They have lower temps than we do right now in parts of Washington, Idaho, and California. Now, California is going to heat up into the triple digits this weekend, but they're kind of used to it, right? They're built for it. They've got the infrastructure for it out there. They've got sprinklers, misters, and all that kind of stuff. But the upper Midwest, I believe, is going to be the one that's getting hit the hardest in the foreseeable future, definitely the ones that are getting hit the hardest right now.
Cody Koster, dairy analyst with EverAg in Michigan, says that this heat is going to cost us not only in energy, but also milk production. He said he's been receiving calls from producers that noted they were down 20 to 23 pounds of milk per cow. Markets in overnight electronic trade as we get rolling on a Monday morning. Still not feeling much energy. I've got numbers next.
Hey, gut yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVets Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
On Thursday in Chicago, barrel cheese was unchanged. 40-pound block cheese up a penny at $168.50, while AA butter gained $2.50, $2.60.50 per pound. This morning in Chicago, September corn is down 13 cents at $4.07, with December new crop down 14 cents at $4.23. August soybeans are down 23 at $10.32. November beans are down 24 at $10.25. Currently, the September wheat is down 14 at $5.43. The August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, 4 cents stronger, currently at $18.44 a hundredweight. There's a quick market snapshot on a Monday. I'm PM Yonke.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible late today, tonight, and again tomorrow. Otherwise, today will be partly cloudy with a high of 84. We'll drop down to 67 tonight, tomorrow. Early day thunderstorms, otherwise partly cloudy, 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Hey, time for that shameless plug for our newsletters at Up North News. You can head over to upnorthnewswi.com, sign up for our newsletters there, including this morning's edition, which, by the way, we have a new newsletter editor, Henry the Intern. We're giving Henry the keys to the newsletter and saying, here, take this for a little test drive. And so in today's edition, he's put in a story of ours about some places in Wisconsin that look like they're right out of a storybook because of the architecture. And also a link to my story on the winners, losers, and liars from the Trump big bloated boondoggle. So sign up for our unabashedly Wisconsin news over at upnorthnewswi.com. Oh, one more note about a comment that came in online. Yes, it is very true that Kirk Bangstad is not universally liked by Democrats and progressives, and the feeling is mutual. And he has, again, he's not a shy fella and has not been shy about calling people out when he thinks that they are mistaken or misdirected, whether they are or not. He does not have that problem of shyness, shall we say. So I am in no way condoning pranking to threaten to disrupt a 4th of July parade and the days and lives of families. I'm just bringing it all back to the root cause. And the root cause is pretty clear, and it is an ongoing campaign of harassment by local politicians, business, media, you name it. And there's a live and let live, concept that seems really hard for certain people to grasp in areas where it's overwhelmingly red, or, to be fair, overwhelmingly blue. We sometimes have a problem with tolerance in this country, one way or the other. What you need are people who don't always agree with you, people who are going to challenge you. You need to be around people who sometimes don't even necessarily like you, but you put on a good show together. Let's bring in Dr. Kristen Lierley, who, you know, is back from her vacation and does a great job pretending to like me every Monday morning. Welcome back, Dr. Lierley. What a fun trip you were on.
You're so crazy, Pat Kreitlow. I love you.
You had a great time, didn't you?
We had an awesome time. We drove across the country and ended up in Boston. And that was the best part. We were in Boston on the 4th of July, which was, I don't know about you, but that was a pretty heavy day for me. Mm-hmm. But we started it by going to the old State House, where every year they read the Declaration of Independence from this balcony and people gather in the street and watch. And to stand there for those 10 minutes while he was reading the document that made our country was just really, it was overwhelming. And to be surrounded by others who got it, like understood the gravity of the moment, like to really bring it home, when it was over, they fired confetti cannons and it was this joyous event and there was a band and somebody started the cheer, USA, USA, you, and it like immediately fizzled.
Oh no.
Immediately. Because you could tell, like the founding fathers were not about fireworks and picnics.
Yeah.
They were dealing with a very challenging situation. They knew that the country was fragile. They knew that they had to be very thoughtful. And it was so much more than the bluster. It was the actual meaning of it. And that was exactly what I needed to see on the 4th of July.
Well, that's good. And, you know, the Declaration of Independence, you go back and look at it or hear it in your case, and it's a lot of grievances against a monarch. Mm-hmm. And somebody being, as monarchs are, dictatorial and authoritarian. And we have an issue in this country right now with folks who back in those days would have been described as monarchists. Mm-hmm. And saying, well, yeah, we need that. We need a strong man leading us. And it's very telling and very depressing, frankly, at times. It was not a great holiday for a lot of Americans, especially those who seem to see fellow Americans as cheering the disruption to people's lives, the disruption of people's health that's going to come from the passage of the Trump bill last week, what it's going to do to rural hospitals, what it's going to do to people's lives, did not make for a great 4th of July. And it was only made worse by that tweet that Derek Van Orden now says was a mistake, but sure did look like he was cheering the fact that, you know, all these people that they describe as deadbeats are about to lose their health care.
It wasn't just the tweets. It was also voting against rural hospitals and then going back to Governor Evers and asking him to save rural hospitals. Mm-hmm. I mean, who is Derek Van Orden? He's an angry man who is also full of contradictions. What does he stand for? I don't know.
No, we don't. Well, we don't. We know what he stands against, and that's anybody who dares to disagree, you know, with him. And that's the thing. See, he could get away with the, oh, it was a mistake thing, except that he and so many of his ilk, I love that word, you know, are on record of saying all these people, whoever these people are, don't deserve health care. And it's even more disingenuous coming from a congressman who loves to talk about growing up poor, you know, and yet has had no problem pushing the ladder away now that he's a member of Congress and a big time politician. So, yes, he can say that particular tweet was, you know, errant, but the sentiments are all still there. And as I noted in our Sunday morning newsletter yesterday, I mean, it was almost comical the way that this guy passionately supports a bill, but then sends a letter to Governor Evers saying, hey, there's this thing in the bill. You're really going to sign that budget quick because this bill is going to hose you guys over. And so, yeah, the legislature had to rush with a bill because you got a congressman talking out both sides of his mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he doesn't really seem to have a clear purpose. He's just trying to, like, I don't know, patch together some sort of quilt of contradictions that will work for him. And, you know, back to the tweet, if it wasn't so consistent with so much of his other messaging, it would be believable that it was a mistake. But it was so in line. It was just like dropping the floor a little bit further. You wonder where the bottom is for Derek Van Orden, and he just keeps finding new lows. So, yeah, do I believe that it was a mistake? No, I don't, because he has a constant pattern of this kind of behavior.
And by the way, about back to the bill, I mean, some of us follow this stuff regularly, and we're still discovering things that were tucked into this bill. The latest one I only learned about this morning just has me incensed. You know, one of the big accomplishments of the Biden administration was Medicare being able to negotiate the prices of drugs, get bulk pricing for people on Medicare like you would do any place else. And when Medicare Part D first passed back during the George W. Bush administration, there was language put in that said, well, the government can't negotiate bulk pricing with the drug companies, which was insane. And it was there for almost 20 years before the Biden administration got rid of it. But I learned this morning that tucked into the Trump bill allows more medications to be exempted from the Medicare price negotiation program, so manufacturers can keep those prices higher. And taxpayers were set to save $5 billion over the next decade by negotiating better drug prices. That $5 billion benefit is gone now. Basically, Trump just gave Big Pharma another $5 billion to gouge all of us who need prescription drugs.
And these are some of the most expensive drugs out there. I mean, do you remember when the Biden administration first came out with this program? And it was these 10 drugs that were commonly used and that were incredibly expensive, and how excited people were to know that they were going to be able to afford their prescriptions again. All of that is gone. There's no fanfare. We're not hearing about it. But just wait, folks. Because when that bill comes in the next month or two, and, you know, especially come October when we are all re-upping our insurance plans and we're looking at the cost of our premiums and the cost of healthcare in the future, I'm very concerned at these delayed effects. Healthcare is, it's already profoundly broken, but it's about to get so much worse.
Oh my gosh. And as you know, the Medicaid funding is cut and these rural hospitals lose what was left of their lifeline, it's only going to accelerate a trend that we've long seen. But there was other news last week. And so I'm going to string together these three dates because these three dates all have significance. There was June 24th of 2022. There was April 4th of 2023. And there was July 2nd of 2025. The first date was the Dobbs decision. The second date was the election of Janet Protasiewicz to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And the third date from last week was the Wisconsin Supreme Court taking action on an arcane statute from 1849. And you were on vacation when the news came that the purported abortion ban in Wisconsin is no more.
I was also on vacation for Dobbs, so apparently I need to go on vacation either less or more.
Yes, yeah. Or be more cognizant of Supreme Court calendars. I don't know, but no, you're entitled to take trips. But yep, you had to interrupt it and talk to a lot of folks and react to the news.
Yeah, it was so good. We were hoping that we were going to get this judgment, but to actually get it, I don't know that it's actually sunk in because so much stuff has happened with the state budget and the federal budget since that time. But it feels so good to know that the Supreme Court recognizes that people in this state, well, I mean, looking at the laws that have been written since Roe v. Wade was initiated back in the 70s, and understanding how it all comes together, how these laws supersede that law that was written in 1849. You would think that it wouldn't take all of this hubbub for common sense people to go, you know what, you're right. But the threats that we as healthcare providers have received because of this old law that's on the books and the fear that it's created with doctors and nurses and patients across the state, that's why all of this has happened. But it's settled now, for now, at least.
Well,
until the next thing comes up.
Right. Alicia notes on YouTube, the chills from your rundown of those three dates. Yeah, I mean, those are three very key dates for women's health in Wisconsin overall. But the state Supreme Court decision last week, yes, made that much clear that this is still very much an issue that state legislatures get to decide. And it just makes it all that more important next year in the 2026 elections that people vote as if that 1849 statute could come right back, because I believe you join me in promising the audience and the voters of Wisconsin that if a Republican wins the governor's office and if Republicans win the Assembly and the State Senate next year, language along the lines of a total 1849 style ban will take effect in Wisconsin. It just will.
It just will. Nothing is ever done. It's a tug of war. So we've got to keep pulling things in our direction. And our direction means people can get health care. Our direction means that moms and babies will survive and thrive and have good outcomes. And that's not what we're seeing in this country right now, because people can't get access to health care, which is only going to get worse because of the defunding of Planned Parenthood that will cause many, many people not to be able to access birth control and testing for sexually transmitted infections and other fundamental healthcare services.
Yeah. I mean, a whole lot of basic healthcare services are now going to be lost as a result of this bill that passed last weekend. We'll talk more about this in our next hour. But first, today's history lesson is next, as we always do, mornings up north and live here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery, so he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Thomas Jefferson is credited with most of the text of the Declaration of Independence, but the independence part came from a Virginian named Richard Henry Lee on June 7, 1776. The First Continental Congress sent a list of grievances in 1774 to King George III, among them the loss of their rights under English law, the occupation by British forces in peacetime, and the oppressive coercive acts passed by Parliament to shut down colonial unrest. The King and Parliament didn't respond other than to pass more restrictive laws. By mid-May 1776, 8 colonies supported independence, including Virginia, which directed its delegates to support independence at the Second Continental Congress. Virginia delegate Richard Henry Lee, on June 7th, presented his resolution for independence to the Congress in Philadelphia, which tabled action until July 2nd. In the interim, Thomas Jefferson, with light editing by Benjamin Franklin and John Adams, crafted a statement which would become the Declaration of Independence, which included Richard Henry Lee's Independence Resolution, word for word. Resolved that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is, and ought to be, totally dissolved. Read the full Declaration of Independence at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. The website climate.gov is no more. The site that served as a trusted resource for federal research on climate change has been officially shut down a month after its staff was fired by the Trump administration. When it was online, climate.gov received hundreds of thousands of visitors every month. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says climate information will be housed elsewhere on its website. $16 million in state funding could soon be on the way to help farmers improve water quality in rural Wisconsin. The Joint Committee on Finance recently committed the funding for a host of environmentally minded farm programs after months of work from Clean Wisconsin and its partners. The funding still needs to be passed by the full legislature and signed into law by Governor Evers. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
As Wisconsin has brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It was on this day in 1984 that Prince got his first number one hit, When Doves Cry. How can that be 41 years ago already? But anyway, it was from the upcoming movie Purple Rain, which apparently did all right. All told, Prince had 5 number ones in his career. By the way, 3 more that peaked at number 2 and 3 more that peaked at number 3. So, you know, that's 11 top 3 hits. Not a bad deal. Did you own Purple Rain back in the day, Kristen?
Oh, yeah. I went to college in Minneapolis, and I had friends who went to college in Minneapolis because of Prince. Yeah.
Did you have to make a run out to the purifying waters of Lake Minnetonka and go for a swim like in the movie?
Oh, Lake Minnetonka is delightful. Strongly recommended to go to Shakopee and to tour Prince's house. It's well worth it.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, you hear Shakopee, all I think of is Valley Fair, where I worked for 4 summers in high school. Yeah. Uh-huh. Let's see. So Prince had the number one hit this day in 1984. This day in 2009, Michael Jackson's funeral was held at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. Doc Severinsen, remember him from the Tonight Show? Uh-huh. Johnny Carson?
Nope.
He's 98 years old today.
Wow.
Yes, 98 today. And I will have a story about Doc Severinsen in a little bit when I talk about Summerfest, believe it or not. Nice little coincidence there. Happy birthday to one of the Beatles. Drummer Ringo Starr is 85 years old today.
He's got a big concert coming up.
He does.
I think in Las Vegas.
Huh. That would make sense.
Yeah.
Born Richard Starkey in Liverpool on this day in 1940. And yes, still performing, still touring. Again, that's kind of going to be our theme when I get to Summerfest is old guys who are still singing.
I saw Ozzy Osbourne did a concert.
Ozzy Osbourne did a big thing over the weekend, too. Yeah, kind of a farewell as well. On this day in 1969, John Lennon released Give Peace a Chance, a song that he and Yoko Ono recorded during their bed-in in a Montreal hotel room back in 1969. If you're not familiar with the bed-in, look it up. President Eisenhower signed the Alaska Statehood Act into law this day in 1958. Time for another birthday. New York-born but California-raised Vonda Shepard. You might not know the name, but you probably know the TV theme song. Were you an Ally McBeal watcher back when it was on?
Kind of. I wasn't the faithful.
You weren't what?
I wasn't the faithful.
You weren't among the faithful? Yeah. No, it's one of those I kind of wished I watched, but again, was busy. The kids were young. There was a lot going on there. But I know it had its funny moments, and I liked her singing when she would, she was kind of played the lounge singer in Ally McBeal. Comedian Jim Gaffigan is 59 years old today. On this day in 1981, President Ronald Reagan nominated Sandra Day O'Connor to become the first female justice on the U.S. Supreme Court.
What? Women can do that too?
Yeah, women can do these things.
Yeah. Yeah, we can, in Wisconsin especially, where we have more women on the court than any other state. Sorry, I just had to put in a plug for my girls.
As well you should. I mean, yeah. On this day in 1985, Boris Becker became the youngest male player to win Wimbledon at age 17. One more number one song for you. We're going to go all the way back to 1973 with Billy Preston. I've got a song,
I ain't got no melody. Billy Preston was the fifth Beatle.
I was just going to say how different the world would be if the Beatles had stayed together and simply added Billy Preston.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they would have gone on forever.
No.
Okay,
George,
maybe not.
John, first. No.
Yeah, I don't know. He could have been. He was as close to a unifying force as there was. He was the anti-Yoko, as it were.
No.
There you go. And by the way, sliced bread is sold for the first time in a bakery in Missouri on this day in 1928.
That's when sliced bread happened?
1928.
Wow.
Yes. Where it was pre-sliced and packaged that way. Huh. Yes.
So the greatest thing.
I know. Greatest thing in 97 years.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And I got to be honest, there's next to nothing on the national day calendar. So cue up the mystery music.
Oh boy.
Because the one thing we want you to be aware of on this seventh day of July is that July continues to be Lasagna Awareness Month.
No.
It's
I just
every-
don't get it. It's hot. Like, I don't want to heat it in my oven for lasagna.
I don't either. I make a great lasagna. I don't want to make it right now, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll hang out over the grill like I did yesterday. That was a lot of fun.
Is this like a Southern Hemisphere thing, maybe?
Southern Hemisphere Lasagna Awareness Month? I don't know.
I mean, maybe. From Argentina or something?
Maybe
I don't
it's
know.
Because it's the time of year where you're not having lasagna and you might forget about lasagna.
Oh, that's a good point. It is Lasagna Awareness Month.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is why
it's
we
not
need
Eat Lasagna Month.
Yes. Maybe at some point there's a lasagna preparation month or a lasagna cooking month. We will look into this.
I think
that's
we're
a lie. Something. I'm not going to look into this. Just continue to be aware of your lasagna.
It's all a scheme by Big Lasagna.
I know. I'm going to get some grilling leftovers coming up. 2 more hours to go as we get rolling on one of these Monday mornings powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Oh, wait, were you just going to sit and leave me hanging like that?
I've got enough music for a minute, so I was like, eh.
And sure. Look, we've lost poor Kristen. She's going to look for the microphone. for folks wondering, Pat once again didn't look at his little note and was going off the old clock again and not the new one. So that was a minute early. I cut a minute off of Lasagna Awareness Month. Although, if you think we could drag that bit out for another 60 seconds,
that was
you
was
are
going.
Seriously mistaken. So, coming up now after the news, we'll hear from Rob in Tigerton. We'll hear from meteorologist Brittany Merlot. No Selena Heller this week. She's off. Jimmy Koska is off for today. I don't think we have Jane Matten there as well. It's just going to be a real quiet time, just you and me and a couple of friends or hostages, however you want to think of Parker and Kristen, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Rescue crews are combing through the damage left behind by a series of severe flash floods in central Texas. Over 40 people are still missing throughout the Texas Hill Country, and at least 80 people have been confirmed dead. Reagan Brown and his parents were able to escape the floodwaters and save some of their neighbors in the town of Hunt.
They were able to escape up the hill, and they got word of their neighbor being stuck in her attic, so they went over and rendered aid and got her out. She's 92 years old.
More rain is in the forecast for the region for later today, sparking fears of additional flash flooding. President Trump has signed a major disaster declaration. The president is also scheduled to meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu later today. It comes as Trump has been touting a potential ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas amid the ongoing war in Gaza. Indirect talks between Israel and Hamas have been taking place in Doha, Qatar, in recent days. This is ABC News.